Rambam, Hilchos Deos, Perek Shlishi, the third chapter of the laws of ethics or character development. After chapter 1 and 2 with the Rambam discussed that the wholesome good life is a life of moderation, a life in which you're centered and balanced, the path which he called the Derech Hashem. When somebody is indeed morally or spiritually ill, they sometimes have to go to another extreme to straighten themselves out. The Rambam also, at the end of chapter 2, discussed how a life filled with jealousy, addiction, seeking glory, and self-aggrandizement makes one miserable. Now the Rambam continues chapter 3. And chapter 3 is going to be about the other side of things. Avoiding asceticism and the tendency to run away from the world. The Rambam is going to discuss how a Jew ought to live in the world and engage with everything that is part of our material life. Perek Shlishi, Halacha Aleph. Shema Yoimer Adam. A person might say, Hoyil v'akina v'ataiva v'akavid v'kayotzi ben. Derech ro'in u'metzien es Adam en Olam. Since we have just learned, and it's really a mission in Pirkei Avos, that jealousy, envy, and addiction, an excessive appetite and craving, and the seeking of glory, really are a destructive path, and they extricate a person from the world. They turn your life into a miserable experience. So a person might say, okay, Efrish mehen b'yoser v'strachik l'tzad acharan. I will segregate myself, I will separate myself from them intensely, and I will gravitate to the other extreme. Add to the point, shelo yochel basar, person will not eat meat anymore. Lo yishta yayin, will not drink wine. Lo yisa isha, will not marry a woman. Lo yesha bedir na, will not live in a comfortable, nice home. Lo yilbash malbush na, will not wear fine clothing. Ella, instead, the person will wear sackcloth or tzemer kosha, coarse wool, v'kayetzeben, and similar garments that are highly uncomfortable, v'kigayin. And he gives an example, koyanei akum, koyanei avaydes kichavim, pagan priests. This was the nature of pagan priests. You don't eat meat, you don't drink wine, you don't get married, you're celibate, you live in a shoebox, you do not wear fine clothing. This was the custom, the tradition of Kohanei Avodas Kechavim, priests of the pagan world. I should add that in many manuscripts of the Rambam and in some early prints, it actually said Kohanei Edom. Kohanei Edom would mean Roman priests. The Rambam apparently referring to priests of the Roman Catholic Church who advocated celibacy. And the more celibate you were, the more segregated, separated from the material world, it was considered that you're more pristine, you're more holy, you could be in greater communion with truth, with God. Says the Rambam, I want you to know, Gam zu derech rahi. From a Jewish perspective, from a halachic perspective, this is also an inappropriate path. V'asur le'lechba. What's gamza? Just like somebody who's indulgent and narcissistic and full of jealousy and addiction and appetites and seeking honor because of a grand narcissistic ego is destructive. This extreme is also destructive. V'asur le'lichba, it's forbidden to follow this path. V'amahalich b'derech zu nikra chayta. And somebody who follows this path is called in Yiddishkeit a sinner. Why? Shari Yoimer bin Nazir. We find a fascinating pasuk in Parshas Naseh by a Nazir. A Nazir was, of course, somebody who accepted upon himself or herself a vow to live in a state of sanctity, which meant no drinking wine, no cutting the hair, no contact with the dead in order to become contaminated. This was called a Nazir. What happens if by mistake, even by mistake, in middle of the term of Nazirus, the Nazir, the man or the woman, becomes impure? It could have been completely not their fault, not intentional. It just happened. They walked into a house. They didn't know that in that house somebody died, and therefore everything in that house is impure, including the Nazir. So the Torah describes the process that the Nazir has to do in order to cleanse themselves and then begin the term again. So the expression is, V'chipir alav ma'asher chata ala nefesh. The Nazir has to atone for himself because he sinned with the soul, or he sinned regarding the soul. The question is, where did he sin regarding a soul? What, he killed a soul? He did something to a soul, he hurt a soul. Which soul did he sin with? He became a Nazir and could be by mistake completely not his intentions or his desire. It was not volitional, by mistake. But Ba'ainus could be forced. He became impure. Where's the Chatal HaNefesh? That's the question our sages raise in Gemara Tainus, and I'm explaining the question as explained in Gvura Sari over there. In Tainus Yud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Amru Chachamim, the sages said, you know which soul he sinned towards? His own soul. He sinned towards his own soul. Why? Said the sages, Umayim Nazir Shalei Parish Elaminayayin Tzarech Kapara. Madacha Nazir, a Nazirite, who did not segregate himself only from wine, still needs atonement. Amineya Atzma Mikol Dover V'Dover Al Achas Kama V'Chama. Somebody who refrains from everything in the world, he goes to the other extreme and becomes an absolute hermit and ascetic. Certainly this person needs atonement. That's why the Rambam says we're calling him a chayte, a sinner. L'fichach, therefore, tzivu chachamim, the sages instructed, shelo yimna adam atzmai ela midvarim shemana atei atayra bilvat. A person should not refrain only from those things that the Torah prohibits you from engaging in. V'lo ye'eser atzmai, v'lo ye'eser atzmai b'nadarim u'b'shvuas al dvarim hamutarim. One should regularly not prohibit himself concerning permitted things through vows and through oaths, which a person says, I make a vow or I take an oath that I will not engage in something that's permissible on a regular basis. The Rambam says it is the wrong thing to do. Kach amru chachamim. This is what our sages said. Talmud Yerushalmi, Meseches Nedarim. Loidayach masha asra toira lashata isra lachadvarim achedim. It's not enough what the Torah has prohibited for you. You have to now impose new prohibitions and new restrictions on you. This is not the path. Now we have to emphasize. In chapter 2, the Rambam said in the beginning, sometimes somebody is sick. And when somebody is sick, they have to, in other words, they are addicted or gravitating very intensely to one extreme. Sometimes they have to go to the other extreme. A classic example would be, where some of us are very familiar with this, somebody who has an addiction to alcoholism. The alcoholic who's destroying his life because of a complete addiction and dependence on alcoholic beverages like wine, this person indeed must go to the other extreme. Why? Because there's a constant danger that moderate, even a little wine in moderation will literally bring this person back to the abyss, because there is a real disease here. There is a real sickness, and the Rambam called it a disease. He called it a sickness. That's true. But generally, from a Jewish perspective, from a halacha perspective, the Rambam says, the path of forbidding things on myself that the Torah permits is not inappropriate. Ubeklal hazeh, this includes elu shemisanim tamid, people who are always fasting. Einem bederech tov, it's not a good path. Sometimes fasting is fine, but to always fast, the Rambam rejects. The chachamim prohibited she adam misagif atzmei betainus, that a person should mortify himself through fasting is a prohibition. All these types of decisions and similar decisions, Sivat Shlaima, King Solomon instructs us, va'amar, and he said in Koheles, in Ecclesiastes, Perek Zion, chapter 7, al tehi tzadik harbe va'al tischakim yoyser lama tishaymim. Don't be so righteous and don't be so smart. Why should you become desolate? Why should you live a desolate life? So the Rambam here in the first halacha of chapter 3 really gave a very powerful halachic Jewish perspective that one should not run away from the world. One should not become an ascetic. One should not become a hermit. One should not completely disengage from everything material. That is not the path of Judaism, unlike the pagan priests or the Roman Catholic priests. It's interesting, the Rambam mentions these priests because contrasted with the Jewish high priest, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, considered the holiest Jew, on the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, when he went into the holiest place in the world, the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a halacha. The halacha is v'chippur ba'adai u'ba'ad beisai, says the Mishnah in the beginning of Yom Beisai zu ishta, he has to be married. The Kohen Gadol, on the holiest day of the year, he has to be married. So the holiest Jew on the holiest day, you see the opposite notion. That Judaism does not want the person to disengage completely from the world, but rather, as he's going to say in Halacha Beis, to sanctify the world. Beis. So now that you told me not to be an ascetic, not to quit wine, not to live in a shoebox, to wear fine clothing, live in a fine home, eat and drink like an ordinary person, get married, build a family, etc. Now the Rambam discusses how a Jew engages in the material world. Halacha Aleph, he told you, don't disengage, don't run away from the planet. Lama Teshaimim, don't become desolate. Now the Rambam says, okay, so how do we engage? So now that's where Halacha Beis continues. Tzarech ha'adam she'yichavin libo v'chol ma'isav kulam leides Hashem. A person needs to focus and direct his heart and all of his activities leides Hashem to become aware of Hashem. Baruch hu b'lvat. The sole purpose of it all should be a connection, an intimate relationship with Hashem to become aware of Hashem. Because as the Rambam discussed earlier in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's energy, Hashem's chachma is manifest in everything in the world. As he put it there, from the highest spiritual form to the tiniest flea and mosquito in the navel of the earth. A person resting, or a person rising up, or a person communicating, meaning all aspects, the whole gamut, the spectrum of a person's life. I'm going to sleep, I'm getting up, I'm talking, I'm schmoozing, I'm communicating. It should all be directed towards this goal of leides Hashem, to become aware and connected to the divine. Ketzad. What does this mean? When a person involved is engaged in business, or a person is doing work for a wage, his sole purpose shouldn't only be to gather money, more money and more money. I should be able to stuff my pillowcases with money. Rather, a person should engage in these things so he should be able to have those things that the body needs in order to be able to live. Me'achila, to be able to eat. Shia, to be able to drink. Yeshiva's bias, to be able to live in a home. Nesiyas Yisha, be able to get married and be married to a woman. When a person drinks and a person eats, and eats and drinks, and Yival is engaged in physical relationships. The sole purpose shouldn't only be physical pleasure. And the result of that would be that I will only eat and drink that which is sweet to the palate. If it's sweet to the palate, I go for it, because the sole purpose is I want to be able to have physical pleasure and comfort at this moment. And the person will only have relationships in order to be able to satisfy my physical urges and pleasures at this moment. That's not the way to live. It's a very superficial, very narrow, small way to live. It's ultimately not even the great enjoyment, because these types of enjoyments dissipate as fast as they come. Eliyosim, a person has to live a holistic life. A full life, a life that integrates heaven and earth, the spiritual and the physical. Eliyasim alibi, a person should appreciate. Sheyoichal v'yishte, he's eating and drinking, or she's eating and drinking. De lahavro is gufoi v'evarav bulvad. In order to be able to live, I don't live to eat, I eat to live. So that the body should be healthy, all the limbs of the person should be healthy. Lefichach, therefore, listen to the Rambam's words. Lo yoichal kol she'achech mis'avek ekelav v'chamar. Don't eat everything that your palate, that your taste buds crave because they're pashut sweet, like the dog and the donkey. Elo yoichal dvarim hamayilim leguf. Always make sure you're eating things that benefit, that build, that promote the health of the body. Imarim. Whether they're bitter. Imesukim. Whether they're sweet. They may happen to be sweet. They may not have such a good taste and so appealing to the taste buds, but they're good for your body. Eat them. Because when a person has perspective, why am I eating? What's the ultimate purpose of the eating? Purpose of the eating is in order for the person to be able to be healthy, to be able to have a wholesome body, which is in itself leading you to the purpose of connection with ultimate truth. Then the person eats what is good for them. That's a whole deeper type of enjoyment. It's an enjoyment that is long-term, that lasts for a lifetime. And then this person will not eat. Do not eat things that are bad, that are destructive for the body, even if they seem delicious. And my palate indeed says, ooh, this is sweet. Ketzer, for example, Mishal Yabsarecham, if somebody is hot-blooded, so warm, a hot constitution, lo yoichal basar, don't eat meat, v'lo yidbash, do not eat honey, v'lo yishtayayin, do not drink wine. Kinyin Shamar Shleima, Derech Marshalas Shleima said, using metaphoric language in Mishlei 25, ochel dvash harbis loitav, eating a lot of honey is really not good for you, v'shoysameya olshin, such a type of a hot-blooded body should drink endive juice. Endive juice. Afal pi shomar, even though it's bitter. She nimtzer shu oichel v'shoyse derech refua belvad kidei sheyavri v'yamet shalom hoyel v'yev shaladim lichis ala bachil ursiya. This person is eating and drinking derech refua in order to be healthy, to maintain your health. You should be wholesome and your body should be as perfect as possible because a person cannot live without nutrition, without foods and drinks. V'chein k'sheyival, when a person engages in physical intimacy, la yival ela kedei lahavreis gufoy. A person should engage in a relationship, in a physical relationship, in order to ensure the health and the wholesomeness of the body, yukedei l'kayim es hazara, and of course, in order to bring children into the world. L'fichach, therefore, ein boyel kol zman sheyisav. Person should not engage in intimacy whenever he experiences a craving. L'kol es sheyeda, whenever he knows, shu tzorich lahitzi shichva zera, that he needs to emit the seed of life from his body. K'moy derech harufua, which is a part of being healthy, oy l'kayim es hazara, or in order to maintain the human race civilization in order to be able to build a family and have children. The Ravid, Rabbeinu Avraham ben David, comments here on the Rambam that there's, of course, a third purpose, and that is a person is married. One of the mitzvahs of marriage is oina. There's an obligation of a husband to be able to bring satisfaction and joy to his wife, unless she's completely not interested or she forgives him, which is in itself something that has to be questioned, what is going on. The Ravid says that's another reason, not only because it's good for his body or in order to have children, it's also the mitzvah of Oinah. There's a mitzvah to have a relationship with a spouse, and that relationship should be joyous and positive, and it includes a physical relationship. The Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo, says that the Rambam doesn't say that because that's a mitzvah. That's a biblical mitzvah in the Torah that the Rambam is going to discuss in the laws of marriage. Here the Rambam is discussing things that the person does outside of a clear obligation. There's no mitzvah that I have to drink wine every night. There's no mitzvah that I have to eat a certain food or drink endive juice. These are things that the person is creating a lifestyle based on his own or her disposition and how I understand my life and how I see myself and how I see my relationship with Hashem. So here the Rambam is introducing another two components in addition to the mitzvah why a person should engage in physical relationships. Gimel, number three, halacha three. Ha-manigatzme al piyo refua. If somebody lives according to the doctor's advice, the nutritionist's advice, according to the laws, to the rules of medicine. If a person thinks, I want my body and my limbs to be wholesome, sound, healthy, but that's the sole purpose. I just want to be healthy, strong as an ox. And I want children, you know why? They should be able to help me in my work. They'll be able to toil. I'm going to get older. I'm going to need help. Right? Traditionally, people had children so they can have another set of hands in the field. I need people to help me. I need kids to help me. Ein zu derech tova. This is also not a good path. We explained that a person should eat and drink and focus on their health, but don't stop here. Don't stop here. Eliyasim alibi, a person has to realize she yegufo yishalim v'chazik deshetiyah nafshi yishara ladasas Hashem. Now, the physical wholesomeness must be linked with eternal, spiritual, true wholesomeness. I want that my body should be wholesome. I want my body should be strong in order that my soul should be able to be aware of the divine, should be able to connect to Hashem. Fascinating words. A person cannot have the mental space to understand, to comprehend wisdoms and the true wisdoms of the world when a person is hungry or a person is sick or one of his limbs is hurting in pain. Physical health, it opens you up. It's a prerequisite. It's the baseline. It's the foundation that the person should be able to grow spiritually. The person should be able to learn, to understand, to perceive, to connect. And a person should also take to heart. When this person is engaging in intimacy, I want children. It's not just, I want a child, so I should be able to have help in the field. I should have a son, a child, hoping perhaps he'll be a great sage and great giant among the Jewish people. In other words, you want a child who will light up the world, a child who will bring chachma to people, to himself, to his own loved ones, and to the Jewish people, a chachma v'gadol b'Yisrael. Nimtza thus, ha-mahalich b'derech zu kol yamav. Somebody who follows this path all of the days of his life, oivid es Hashem tamid. He is always serving Hashem. He is not serving Hashem only when he's learning Torah or observing mitzvahs. He's always engaged in Avodas Hashem. Afilu b'shar shenoisim v'noisim, when this person is involved in business, in the midst of a business deal, business transaction, it's as divorced from religion as anything, and it would seemingly be so remote from religion. Afilu b'shar sheboil, even when this person is involved and engaged in physical intimacy, mipnei shemach shafte b'koil, because there's a pervading thought, there's a pervading consciousness, an underlying theme that pervades this in person's entire life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. If he's sleeping and he's drinking and he's eating and he's going to the doctor and he's going to an appointment and he's involved in a business transaction and he's a telephone call, he's engaged in intimacy, a physical relationship, there's a thought. Kedei sheyimtza tzrachav, a person should be able to have his needs, at shehi gufo shalom lavadas Hashem, to the point that his body should be wholesome in order to be able to serve Hashem. Even when a person goes to sleep, if a person is sleeping with the consciousness that he wants that his mind should be able to rest and his body should be able to relax, the body has to be able to gain its strength, shouldn't become sick, and then you cannot serve Hashem. When a person is sick, it compromises the quality of Avodas Hashem. Nimtzes, this means Shena Shaloi Avoida Lamakim Baruch Hu. Then this person's sleep is a service for Hashem. It's a service for Hashem. And here I'm going to ask one of my questions. The Rambam already mentioned Hashem in this Perek, I think 4 times. And each time he mentions Hashem, halacha base, leides Hashem, halacha gimel, adasas Hashem. 4 times, I believe. Yiyu gufei shalom, lavedes Hashem. Here, suddenly, the 5th time, the Rambam introduces a new name for Hashem, lamakim. Just a line earlier, he said, layucha lavedes Hashem. I would expect him to say, nimtza shena shalei avoyde Hashem. Suddenly, the Rambam introduced a new name for Hashem, lamakim. Hashem defined as the space. After 4 times mentioning Hashem as Hashem, which means the name, which represents Hashem, here, the 5th time, the Rambam changes Hashem's name. He puts in the word Lamakim. Why, my dear friends? Think about it. On this theme, Tzivu Chachamim V'yamnu, our sages gave us a mitzvah. They instructed us and they said, V'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. This is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, chapter 2. All of your deeds should be for the sake of heaven, for the sake of Hashem. For who Shama Shlomo b'chachmasa? This is what Shlomo said in his wisdom. This is not only, the Rambam doesn't say v'hu shamar shleimah. He could have said v'hu shamar shleimah. Earlier in Halacha Aleph, he also quoted shleimah. The end of Perek Beis, he also quoted shleimah. The Rambam quotes shleimah often. Here, the Rambam puts in the word b'chachmasai. Shleimah said it in his wisdom. The other things shleimah didn't say in his wisdom. The other things were also said with the wisdom of shleimah. But here the Rambam puts in b'chachmasai. Why? V'hu shleimah b'chachmasai. This is what shleimah said with his wisdom in Mishlei Perek Gimel, Proverbs chapter 3. B'chol drachecha da'eyu. In all your ways, you should know him, you should know Hashem, v'hu yeyasher erchesecha, and he will straighten out your ways, he will bring straightness and clarity into all of your pathways in life. So Shlomo is saying, in all of your ways you should know him. Not only when you're involved in sacred, holy, Jewish, religious activities of Torah and mitzvahs, b'chol drachecha, in all of your travels and journeys and all of the pathways of life, meaning whatever path you're on, whatever you're engaged in, da'ehu, ultimately utilize that as a way of knowing Hashem, of seeing Hashem, of perceiving Hashem, and of connecting to Hashem. And here I'm going to ask you a question. What comes first, Mishlei or Pirkei Avos? Mishlei is one of the 24 books of Tanakh. Pirkei Avos is a Mishnayis that was authored by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. So when the Rambam is bringing proof from 2 sources, should he bring first from Mishlei or first from Pirkei Avos? I would say first from Mishlei. Not only that, the same theme of this halacha that the Rambam says here in Hilchos Deos Perek Gimel is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and in Tur Orach Chaim Simen Reish Lamed Aleph. And over there, these two sources are quoted in the appropriate order. First, B'chol Ruch HaChadeya, then B'chol Masech L'Shem Shemayim. They use the Rambam's theme, but they change the order because Torah Shebiksav comes before Torah Shebalpeh, Mishlei comes before Pirkei Avos. The Rambam first says what the Chachamim said, B'chol Masech L'Shem Shemayim. And then he adds what Shlomo said, B'chachmasi, which is B'chol Drachecha, the Eyu. Why does the Rambam change the order? So I'm going to give you a brief explanation on this. This is based on an idea that was shared by the Lubavitcher Rebbe at a Fabrengen Yud Gimel Tammuz Tov Shin Chav Beis, the 13th of Tammuz, summer 1962. And the Rebbe said that the Rambam perhaps is intimating that there are two states within this concept itself, two levels, and you have to go in order. This kol ma'asech l'shem shemayim, this b'chol derech chadayu. The difference is as follows. Kol ma'asech l'shem shemayim means all of your activities should be done for the sake of heaven. For the sake of heaven means the ma'ase is a mundane ma'ase. I'm eating, I'm drinking. L'shem shemayim, I'm doing it so that I have energy to be able to serve Hashem. I can think about Hashem, I can learn about Hashem, I can daven, I could learn. I'm making money. I'm making money. What's making money? Making money is making money. But I have a goal. And the goal is, I want to use my money for good things. I want to use my money to give tzedakah. I want to use my money to help people. I'm going to sleep. Sleep is sleep. But through the sleep, I'm going to have koyach. I'm going to wake up a rested person. I won't be grouchy. I won't be sick. I won't be lethargic. So therefore, I'm going to serve Hashem. I'm exercising. Why? Exercise is exercise. Exercise is something material. But the ultimate purpose is l'shem shamayim. That's step number one, which is very powerful. The Rambam is intimating yet a deeper step. B'chol drachecha de'eyu. It's not just my physical engagements are for the sake and for the purpose that later I'll be able to utilize them for a divine purpose. No, much deeper than this. B'chol drachecha de'eyu. In all your ways you should know Him. I perceive Hashem in all of my ways. In other words, I find the presence of Hashem within the material and physical world, within everything I am involved in. Like the Rambam said earlier in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that Hashem's infinite wisdom is present in every bush and in every shrub and in every plant and in every organic matter, in inorganic matter and living organisms, in the planet and in the tiniest flea in the navel of the earth. Everywhere there's Chachmas Hashem. Everywhere I could perceive Elokus, I could perceive divine truth, divine wisdom, godliness. A person is involved in business, they could see in the business transaction, they could find the wisdom, the presence, the divine provenance, the Hashgacha Pratis. A person eats, I could meditate and realize that the food itself is essentially a manifestation of Hashem's energy, of Hashem's wisdom. The food itself, in other words, is sacred. And the same is true with everything in the world. There is utilizing the world for a productive path in the future, l'shem shamayim, that's step one. And then the Rambam adds, yet a deeper level in avodas Hashem, b'chol drachecha da'eyu. I could connect das va'adam yada, I connect and I see Hashem within every single experience. I connect it to the spirituality of it. It is a beautiful word from the Apter Rav. Bavram Yeshua Eshel of Apte Noyev Yisrael, it says in Parsha Shmini, Zois HaChaya Asher Teichelu. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, not only this is the animal you should eat, Zois HaChaya Asher Teichelu. This is what you should eat, the Chaya, the Chiyus inside of the food. Don't just surrender to the outer shell that's delicious to the taste bud, that's appealing to the taste bud. Zois HaChaya, look for the Chiyus. There's a pneumius over there. There's a divine energy. There is, so to speak, the divine DNA that constitutes the very matter. It comprises the very matter of the food. Connect to that. See it. Perceive it. So that way, this experience itself becomes part of my relationship with Hashem. Just like in relationships, the man and the woman, the Rambam is going to say later in Hilchos Tshuva, the relationship itself is a manifestation and a metaphor for the relationship between a person's soul and a person's body, between Hashem and the Jewish people, between heaven and earth, as the Rambam is going to discuss in the 10th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. I think that's why the Rambam uses the word Lamakim, the name Lamakim. Hashem has many names. One of the descriptions of Hashem is Makim. So the Chazal say, what's Makim? Hu Makim Shalom Ve'ena Olam Makim. Hashem constitutes the space of the world, but the world does not constitute His space. In other words, Makim represents the omnipresence of Hashem, that He is the space of the world, even though the world is not His space. Because Hashem is not defined by the world, but the world is defined by Him. Which means every single space, every nook and cranny, every centimeter, every inch of the world essentially is filled with divinity. So the Rambam says, your sleeping is an avoida la makim baruchu. It's an avoida to the omnipresent one. Because Hashem could be found even in my slumber, even in my sleep. My sleep is also an opportunity to connect to the divine, and therefore the sleeping itself is also an opportunity to serve Hashem. Perhaps that's why he emphasizes the name makim. I'm going to tell you a great story. It's a great story that happened with my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law was once at some gathering and meeting, and there was a lot of Jews there, and a lot of Jews who were involved in Buddhism and various Far Eastern spiritual disciplines. And somebody confronted my brother-in-law, and he said, Rabbi, I have a question. Do you think that Buddhism is a good path for the Jews to engage in, because it's very spiritual and it's lofty and it's a very refined path? So my brother-in-law said that Judaism is the path for the Jewish people to connect to God. So this man confronts him and says, really? Do you know Buddhist monks? They are some of the most, the finest people in the world. They're calm and they're serene and they're happy and they're loving and they have this universal love and kindness, and they're not grouchy and selfish and narcissistic. He says, take the Dalai Lama. What's wrong? If I could live like the Dalai Lama, I want to pursue. Isn't he a wonderful, extraordinary, compassionate, happy person? How can you say that this is not an appropriate path for the Jewish people? So my brother-in-law, not skipping a heart's beat, is a kluge. He says, listen, you just praise the Dalai Lama to the heavens. We have a Jewish tradition for 4,000 years. We do not believe any compliments about any single man in the world if we do not first discuss it with the man's wife. We believe that the only one who can give us an honest opinion about any man is his wife. You talk about the Dalai Lama in such powerful, powerful terms. You extol his virtues ad infinitum. I'm happy to accept it and accept your words about Jews following Buddhism, but there's a condition. I have to first speak to Mrs. Dalai Lama, find out what's her opinion about her husband, and then I can agree with you, just our Jewish tradition. So the guy starts laughing. He says, I knew you were completely, completely naive. I know you were completely archaic. Don't you know that Buddhist monks are celibate? They don't engage in marriage? That's the point. That's the point. The uniqueness of holiness in Judaism is a holiness that integrates. It integrates the spiritual and the physical. And there's two reasons for it. Number one, if I completely become an ascetic, I can also fall very hard, because the moment I discover my humanness, it sometimes becomes so tempting that I actually fall to the other extreme. So Judaism advocates a life of moderation, a life of synthesis, a life of integration. Don't deny that you have a body. But there's something even deeper than that. And that also includes the need for a person to be healthy, to be able to be physically healthy and wholesome, to be able to serve Hashem. But there's also something deeper than that. And that is, as an ideal, our vision is one in which we believe in integration and synthesis. Angels, the Kotzker Rebbe once said, it says, "Va'anshe kodesh tiyun li," in Parshas Mishpatim. You should be people of holiness. He said, holy angels, God has in heaven enough. What he wants is menschliche Helikait, a holiness that permeates the world, a holiness that is that's integrated within the physical world, the ability to be able to turn the whole world into a dwelling place, into a conduit, into a place of unity with truth, with eternity, with the absolute emes of godliness, emes Hashem la'olam. It's a beautiful Hasidic interpretation. We have halacha on Shabbos. Ein kiddush ela b'makom su'uda. You have to make kiddush in the place where the meal is. I don't make kiddush stay in shul, and then I come home to have the meal. Unless I start the meal in shul, you have to do kiddush in the place of the meal of Shabbos. So one of the spiritual explanations is in Judaism, there's no kiddush that's divorced from the meal. Sometimes people in shul, in the synagogue, in the Beis Medrash, they're very holy. I close my eyes and I scream, Nakdishoch, Nakadesh, Keser, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But then when I go into the office, I can lie, I can cheat, I can backstab somebody. I come to the house and I shriek and I shout and I yell and I denigrate and I'm abusive and I embarrass somebody. Ein kiddush ella b'makom suhuda. In Judaism, the only kiddusha that we really cherish, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted, is the holiness that enlightens and permeates and penetrates my feast, my meal, that everything that I'm involved in the physical world becomes permeated with holiness. And perhaps that's the difference between Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim and B'chol Drechecha De'eyu. Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim means everything I do has to be for the sake of heaven, which means you can't run away from this world. It's not going to work. It's not a path for ordinary people. It's not going to be successful. It's not going to be productive. You have to live in this world. But remember, don't become indulgent. It should be L'Shem Shamayim. It has to be a higher purpose, a deeper purpose, a holy purpose for the sake of God. That's step number one. And then there's a deeper step. And that is that the ultimate vision of Judaism is the vision of integration. The vision to sanctify the landscape of planet Earth. And make Hashem's presence fill every nook and cranny of our life, of our psyche, and of our environment. That's the B'chol Drechecha De'eyu. In all your ways, you should know Him. This concludes the third chapter of Hilchos Deos.